This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, short for Sustainable Design, on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also simulcast on kpw.org, and you can get an archive exclusively from radioforall.net. Okay, so this week I have Lee Feldman, local concerned citizen that was handing out a flyer at the pro-Palestinian rally a few weeks ago. And so he just wants to explain his flyer. So I have him, and then Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal. It's a project of the War Industry Resisters Network. It's a coalition of groups opposing their local war companies joined together to focus on corporate control over U.S. foreign policy. This is from their website at worldbeyondwar.org. Do you hear that great sucking sound out there? That's the sound of all our resources, hopes, and dreams for peace and a livable planet being steadily drawn into the bellies of military contractors. President Biden is requesting $868 billion for weapon systems of all kinds, including new nuclear weapons, along with the facilities to store them and the men and women to use them. Just one Lockheed F-35 fighter jet powered by a Raytheon engine and loaded with Raytheon missiles and bombs costs around $80 million. It can even deliver nuclear warheads to start or continue a war to doom the planet. The U.S. government plans to build hundreds of them. But there is hope all across the country, and the world groups are organizing against this military-industrial complex as they pursue a livable and beautiful planet, human solidarity, and social and racial justice. With hope and determination, they are engaged in the struggle of our lifetime to hold back our extermination by climate catastrophe and nuclear war. Some of these groups belong to the War Industry Resisters Network. Our specific focus is on U.S. military contractors and the real and present danger they pose to our country and our world. Each group in our loose network focuses on one or more military contractors operating in its community. Join us. Okay, so that's from the War Industry Resisters Network. This is the Merchants of Death, or coming up after Lou Feldman on Palestine, the Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal. I thought they'd go together because that's what I do here, is we're trying to give you solutions journalism here. And so my own particular solution to this is what I've always said, and this is just me. Please research all this stuff yourself. I've said it before, said it again. This is mainly to open up a dialogue. What I would do is have one troop, an international force, and I thought that's what the UN was for, have one troop per 10 people. Or a ratio, even if you have to have 10 troops per one person, but shut down the entire area and hold elections, and also hold investigations as to, and I think you're going to find the imperialism angle in the investigation, and you'll see some high-level public officials being indicted for war crimes. If we were to take an international force, shut down the entire area and hold elections, democratic elections, and investigations as to what caused the problem in the first place and how to solve it. And, you know, you can do this, we could have done this in Somalia, should have done it in Iraq. You know, and we might find out that the incubators that they claimed were being broken by the Iraqis was fake, which turned out to be fake. We might find out stuff like that in tribunals. So that's what these tribunals are for, is these war contractors are guilty of war crimes because they're having unnecessary wars with the wrong countries. And you and I, they basically just loot the treasury. Your tax dollars are basically blown up rather than, I'd be better off wasting it on cigarettes and beer. At least that money, I might see that money from cigarettes and beer, whereas when you give it to defense contractors, they just put it in a bank somewhere and earn interest off of it. So even if you're a capitalist, you should be against the Merchants of Death, and for a war crimes tribunal, and especially George Bush, who just completely fabricated the war in Iraq and caused a global financial meltdown, basically, because what you can also trace is all your, there's a recession after almost every war because, like I say, you have to pay for these bombs that are just basically blown up, and these brokers, weapons brokers, just skim the money off the top. So that's what today's show is about, and thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Like I say, let's just say have an international troop, highly trained international force that are trained in nonviolence. Also, I'm looking for my tape on from long ago. I think this was from the 90s. Here in Oregon, a lady had a lecture on Israeli and Palestinian women and the peace process. And because women's role in society, she was not saying that they're genetically predisposed, but because women can tell you this, whoever is the mother in the family, whoever has that role, is a very good conflict resolver. You're constantly resolving conflicts between the children, between your husband and the children, between everyone. The mother in the family tends to be the conflict resolver. And I think you can all mothers can attest to this. So that's why she was advocating that women be the conflict resolvers, and they had a group of Israeli and Palestinian women that were discussing all this, because they're the ones that bear the brunt of war, is the women and children. So shouldn't they have a say in what's going on? So, yeah, Israeli and Palestinian women, maybe the world women, maybe an army of women negotiators trained in conflict resolutions, mothers that already know about conflict resolution. Maybe we should shut down the Middle East with an army of peacemakers until we hold elections and some investigations so that it doesn't happen again, and we can solve this problem. All right, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Oh, support your local, I gotta start, support your local open mic night. You'll see some very talented people in your own community. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. I'm here with Lee Feldman. I met him at the pro-Palestinian rally a few weeks ago, and he was handing out this flyer. And just a little disclaimer, neither one of us are experts on Israel or Palestine, and we're just trying to open up a dialogue here. But he wrote this pamphlet that he was handing out, this flyer that he was handing out. We just wanted to share it with our listeners. So Lee Feldman is going to read his statement on the Zionist State of Israel, Free Palestine.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. Here's a statement or flyer that I handed out. Growing up a Jewish kid on the south side of Chicago several decades ago, I was unfortunately made well aware of the anti-Semitism pervasive throughout Chicago. The establishment of the Zionist State of Israel back then seemed to give a boost to the morale of the many Jews, as I recall. Initially, Israel was packaged as a progressive, quasi-socialist regime. The whole kibbutz ethos was sold to Jewish youth as an example of how this new nation-state was going to go into business. Enthusiastic, idealistic, hard-working youth, toting rifles and dancing about in their upsurge of Jewish nationalism and nation building. Nothing was ever mentioned about the Nakba, ever. 75 years later, the State of Israel is nothing like the initial advertisement. Instead, it's a racist, theocratic regime that has embraced apartheid and militarism. This is factually true. It's not possible, though, to critique Israel without including its main beneficiary, the United States. Israel secured the U.S.'s Middle East watchdog role after the Six-Day War. Since that time, Israel has been the recipient of U.S. military aid in terms of billions of dollars per annum. Israel is now the armed ghetto of the Levant, armed to the teeth and riding roughshod over the Palestinians. Israeli expansion continues, unchecked by the U.S. Zionists have hijacked the horror of the Holocaust to cover their nefarious behavior. While it's frustrating to view this, it would be incorrect to diminish the absurd reality of the Holocaust because of the obnoxious behavior of the Israeli government. Israel and its 75-year history are a case of the chickens coming home to roost. For 2,000 years, the Jews have been persecuted and on the run by European Christians. The Holocaust played right into the hands of the Zionists, and now the world has this Levant ghetto that continuously torments that area and internally degrades and oppresses the Palestinians. This should be obvious, and no further delineation should be required. And this racist theocratic state has nuclear weapons. I have to call out and condemn Hamas, a reactionary Islamic organization that controls Gaza. How could they, even for one second, think that the Israeli response would be anything less than what it is and will be? Nothing like a war to unite a divided nation. Hamas was enabled by the Israeli and U.S. governments over 35 years ago to counter the PLO, which had ties to the old Soviet Union. It's critical that clear-visioned Jews denounce Israel as a racist, expansionist country. Jews should be at the forefront of this denouncement, as the number of Jewish organizations stating that calling out Israeli crimes is anti-Semitism has increased. Truth is truth. Criminal behavior is criminal behavior. Manufacturing reasons and justifications and using the Holocaust as a fig leaf is also a crime. That's the truth. Never again, any people, anywhere.
All right. Lee, what motivated you to make up this flyer and hand it out at the pro-Palestinian rally?
Well, I've been upset and a little miffed by the number of Jewish organizations that have gone to the length of saying that criticizing Israel is anti-Semitism. I feel that's incorrect. Criticizing a government is criticizing a government, any government. And there's been this, because of the relationship and the ties between the United States and Israel, there's been this movement to hush any criticism of Israel. And so I feel it's incorrect to do so. Israel should be criticized. It is as I said it is. And in that sense, I feel it's important that a person with a Jewish background come forward with a statement like this and say, Israel, you're wrong. And it's correct for anybody to criticize Israel when their behavior is incorrect. That was the primary motivation.
Well, so I've had people tell me that the reports, that the claims that Palestinians are making are lies, though. Is it true that Israel is an apartheid and militarist state? Can you give me examples of that?
Well, here's what I know about that. And as you said, Curtis, neither of us are scholars on this. At the onset, when Israel was made a state, a nation, and established diplomatic relations and all that, the fact of the matter is that something called the Nakba occurred, which was the expulsion of over 700,000 Palestinians from their homes and land that they had lived on for centuries. That became a cost of a Jewish homeland. And the regard for the welfare of the Palestinians was taken off the table. So Israel, as a homeland for Jews, was created at the cost of complete and total disruption and chaos and degradation of the lives of the Palestinians who had been there for centuries.
Right, and so we send money to Israel for as long as I can remember. What is that money used for? Is it used for humanitarian aid to Palestinians or to create a humanitarian state in Israel?
No, of course not. And as we know, President Biden just upped it on his last visit. This is military aid. Israel is armed to the teeth. Israel has helped the U.S. Over the years. They've been the chosen Middle East watchdog for the quote-unquote interests of the United States. And that's what that aid's about. It has nothing to do with assisting Palestinians.
And then they have ambiguous nuclear deployment. Why doesn't Israel announce that they have nuclear weapons?
That I don't know. I'm not part of that. And it still remains a supposition, but it's a strongly held supposition. Nobody has publicly stated this. But it's, so to speak, well known, and I can't really delineate anything beyond that.
But I mean, if that was disclosed, that would give, when I was a kid, no one is supposed to have nuclear weapons in the Middle East at all, because it would cause nuclear Armageddon. So there was supposed to be no one in the Middle East at all that had nuclear weapons. So if they did announce that they would have nuclear weapons, that they have nuclear weapons, then wouldn't that change the dynamics of nuclear weapons in the Middle East?
Well, I have to agree with you, Curtis. I don't have anything to add or subtract to that, because you know, it hasn't been announced. It isn't out there on public record, and so you just basically stated why that's the case.
Right, and then are you saying that we created Hamas, or we supported, the U.S. supported Hamas as a response to the Russians supporting the Palestinian Liberation Organization? But was that a response, or is that more of a complicity? Is that a proxy war, or is the beginnings of a proxy war?
Well, I'm not sure I can identify it this way or that way. It's just that there's an aspect to this Islamic fundamentalism that is actually works for the Western powers that have interest in that area. And PLO, on the one hand, was never liked by the United States. And by having Hamas take over Gaza and infuse it with the cover of the Islamic fundamentalism, it added to shading and putting a label on something that had not been labeled. The Palestinians were, it was known, and it is known, that they've been on the short end of the stick in this whole thing from the get-go. But by having the Hamas take over the Gaza, it puts a bad guy veneer on that whole situation that's laid on the Palestinians in Gaza. This was made public by a New York Times reporter from an Israeli government official.
All right, so what is the solution? One-state solution, two-state solution? Can we have a state where everyone... First of all, every news report that I've heard, even Jewish news reports, are saying that Palestinians suffer astronomically more casualties in any of these skirmishes than Jewish casualties. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's fairly well known. I'm not sure if that statistic has any meaning, but it is the case. I mean, if you look at similar situations, I mean, in terms of the 50,000 U.S. soldiers that were killed in Vietnam, and then you have 1 million Vietnamese or more, I don't know the exact numbers, who died in that war. It's always the case that those who are not fully well-armed and trained and what have you suffer the most casualties. Look at in World War II, the Soviet Union suffered over 20 million deaths, and the number of American losses were 250,000. So there's always an imbalance, and it generally has to do with who has the bigger cannons and training, etc. But the idea of a solution, it's like if you have something one place and you look at this thing isolated, there really is no solution. These things are all wound up in a whole geopolitical phenomenon. And in that sense, as long as you have the world constructed the way it is as we speak, and I don't think there's any solution that would satisfy anybody other than, yeah, the Israelis would be happy if the Palestinians evaporated and vice versa. Well, that's no solution. But the way things have developed over the years, you've gotten to a point where and it's sort of ironic, you know, here Hamas, Islamic fundamentalist group. You go into the West Bank, you go to a city like Ramallah, most of the Palestinians there are Christians. So it's just more divide and conquer, and this ploy and that ploy, and paint this one that way. No, I don't see a solution given the way things are currently constructed. I wish I could say something positive, but that would be false.
Well, so the solution is to end our dependence on oil and a military-industrial complex, you're saying. The system itself is the problem.
Yes, the system itself is the problem, is what I'm saying. That when you have, I'm going to say it, when you have a worldwide system of capitalism, imperialism,
globalization.
There are, well, globalization is a polite term for, it became a polite term for outsourcing, and it's also a polite term for imperialist domination. So in that sense, you have really deep contradictions that are very, very, very difficult to resolve under this worldwide construct. You know, coming from a Jewish background, and as I said, my, you know, little kid hears about this Jewish homeland, they're going to call it Israel, okay, and suddenly, you know, oh, isn't that nice? But the cost of that never was considered. Why this was needed, why it was necessary in terms of Jewish refugees after World War II being turned away by the United States and many other countries. Nobody wants these Jews. So you have this world situation that itself contributes to this. And then it plays right into the hands of the Zionists. And I'm an anti-Zionist. I don't think that that is correct at all. I am, over the years, I've come to see that Zionism is not the smiley face that was put on it. It's the opposite. And I want to make it clear that not all Jews are Zionists. There's an organization I've had some interest in, I have some issues with. It's called Jewish Voice for Peace. One of the issues I had with them, it was a, I said, no, you ought to make your name Jewish Voice for Justice, as in no justice, no peace. Because to call for peace and call for ceasefire and this and that is, it's smoke, it's a dream. Something as unpleasant, and I'm being kind here, is what has happened in the Levant is can't be solved unless bigger issues get solved. And so I want to put it out there that if you're a Jewish person and you have any conscience at all and any clarity at all, you should realize that there was a tradition of Jews being at the forefront of struggles for justice. Well, this is a struggle for justice. And Jewish people, especially here, who have the advantages of being here in the United States, need to get into that. When you have something like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, getting on board with that criticizing Israel is anti-Semitism, that is horrible. That's horrific. It is not. If I criticize the government of Italy, am I criticizing Italians? If I criticize the French government for something, am I criticizing the French? Am I suddenly a Francophile or Francophobe? And so on, you know. I criticize the German government, suddenly I'm a totally anti-German. Or it makes no sense. And it's playing, here's something that people should be aware of. How is it that all of these, here in the United States, these Christian fundamentalists have suddenly come on board with the, anti-Semitism? I mean, you're talking about people, especially in the South, especially amongst the Southern Baptists, who were completely meshuggah in their hatred for Jews. Why? Well, the Jews killed Jesus. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, oh, you got someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I actually could say that without choking, talking about anti-Semitism. I mean, if you can't see the hypocrisy in that.
Right. They want to bring on the rapture. is why they're supporting Jewish people, is because that would bring on the rapture and the end of days.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, my parents were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, okay? And they taught me that Israel took a land, a desert land that no one wanted, and made it into an oasis and planted, got stuff growing there and everything. That isn't any more true than we paid for Manhattan with $24 worth of beads to the Native Americans, is it? Isn't there a comparison to what we did to the Native Americans and what they're doing?
Absolutely.
To Palestinians?
Absolutely. Here, I just have to agree with you on this, Curtis, that the analogy is unfortunately very true. The Europeans, the Caucasian Europeans, come to the Americas, totally transform what was here, complete disregard, to be kind, for the indigenous people that are here. Of course, what'd they do? It was genocide. And now the native people in this country are reduced to reservations. Well, what's Gaza? What happened there? All those people thrown out of their homes and their land for a Jewish homeland? That's rather dubious. So yes, you're absolutely correct, Curtis.
Boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Is, to me, a boycott is, I should be able to boycott anyone I want. You cannot tell me that boycotting someone is anti-Semitic just because I'm boycotting Israel. Is boycotting Israel anti-Semitic?
No, of course it's not anti-Semitic. It's anti-apartheid, it's anti-fascism, it's showing a disgust for the behavior of one country to another people. No, I completely support boycotting Israel, and it should be, and there's no anti-Semitism in it. Well, you know, it would be like boycotting Nazi Germany. Is that, are you...
Against Germans.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you're not against Germans, you're against Nazis.
Well, apartheid South Africa, too. We were not against white people or black people by boycotting apartheid South Africa. And it seemed to work.
It was felt. This is going to be a lot more difficult in terms of how much the United States is pumping into that, and all of the jingoism here in the United States, and our current situation. And we now have a very interesting new Speaker of the House. And it's going to be difficult. But I think it should be done. It sends a strong message. And if that's the best that can be done at this moment, then send that message.
All right, Lee Feldman, concerned citizen. Anything else you want to say?
No, thank you, Curtis. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the opening session of the Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal. My name is Brad Wolf. I am one of the coordinators of this tribunal. I am the executive director of Peace Action Network of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I am also a lawyer and a former prosecutor. We come together tonight during especially difficult times. Our subject tonight and in the weeks ahead is serious, but our resolve is firm. That so many of you have joined us tonight confirms our belief that information, that knowledge, combined with nonviolent direct action, can change the course of history. We have over 1,700 people registered for this evening's session, coming from all across the globe. This opening session will be recorded and made available to all of you who registered, and we ask you to share that widely. We ask you to share all subsequent video links you receive from us widely. Information is power. We want to thank World Beyond War for hosting tonight's opening session and for being such a committed partner throughout this project. David Swanson and Greta Zaro have been instrumental in helping bring this tribunal to all of you. All of our organization partners, over 25 of them, are listed on our website at merchantsofdeath.org. For the past 2 years, Kathy Kelly, Nick Modern, and myself, along with a team of investigators, writers, film editors, and lawyers, have been gathering evidence to prove the guilt of four United States weapons manufacturers for aiding and abetting in the commission of crimes against humanity and war crimes as defined by the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. The four defendants are Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, now known as RTX, and the drone maker, General Atomics. These four weapons manufacturers are representative of the entire U.S. war industry. Last Wednesday, November 8th, six of us were arrested outside Raytheon Technologies in Arlington, Virginia. It was during a peaceful protest calling on Raytheon once again to respond to our allegations. We were charged with a first-degree misdemeanor of trespass, arraigned, and ordered to appear for trial. We urge all of you to consider nonviolent action as an effective method of ending militarism and endless war. In every community, there is a weapons maker. In every community, a merchant of death. The information we are presenting is meant to inform and to motivate. The evidence presented to the jurors of this tribunal and to all of you will be in the form of video documentaries, which not only provide the facts, but tell the story through the eyes of the victims. Each video will be approximately 30 minutes in length, easily accessible, and easily shareable. They will be made freely available to all groups, high schools, universities, church groups, social justice gatherings, and community organizations. Some of the areas this tribunal will examine are Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, and Gaza. We will provide evidence on the complicity of lobbyists, think tanks, and the media. Tonight, we will present the first video segment of the tribunal, which is about the repeated aerial bombardments of Gaza. Each week hereafter, you will receive an email from us with a link to the next video segment of the tribunal. These videos may be viewed by you during the week. Again, please share these video links widely. Create viewing events in your community. Form your own discussion groups. The emailing of videos to all of you will last approximately 4 months. During that time, we will have periodic live stream meetups inviting you to participate with us in discussing the evidence we've presented and, just as importantly, to discuss actions you would like to take in your community. We want to serve as a resource for all of you to take action. The first meetup session will be 3 weeks from tonight, Sunday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We will alter the times of the meetups to account for viewers in different time zones. You will receive an email invitation to the meetup on December 3rd and all subsequent meetups. We thank you for being with us tonight, for caring, for being a part of this People's Tribunal. We will now show a brief 10-minute video we created that outlines the work this tribunal has done, defining what a People's Tribunal is, and making clear why a tribunal is needed now against these defendants.
The consequences of war are chillingly clear: suffering, death, and destruction. This is so often inflicted on civilian populations who have no true involvement in the conflict at hand. What is it that drives such state-sanctioned cruelty against others? What would be the cause of such inhumanity?
Any militaristic response to a situation, I think it's a form of spiritual decay. It's a form of moral decrepitude. And we have to bring a spiritual and moral, not just a critique, but a witness. We have to intervene. We have to do something about it. That's part of the great legacy of Dorothy Day and Rabbi Heschel and Martin Luther King Jr., that they recognized that this was a cancer. Militarism is a cancer, and it can't be simply talked about. You actually have to attempt to do something about it.
We will never have a firm tally of everyone who has died in Washington's post 9/11 wars in Iraq, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, Philippines, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, so forth. We'll never know. Now, it's important to put this into context of these corporations, because these corporations are pressuring Congress, they're pressuring the military, they are developing, marketing, and selling all manner of goods and services that then harm these civilians.
In the United States of today, a country perpetually at war for the last 75 years, American citizens are subjected to extraordinary manipulation to pay for and condone wars of choice, with vulnerable non-combatants paying the deadly price. The United States is a corporate state where big business has captured our executive, legislative, and judicial branches of power, as well as our national media.
In general, with some exceptions, the major U.S. media outlets, by which I mean the media organizations and corporations that reach every day tens and into the hundreds of millions of Americans, they're owned by and advertised on major corporate sources, advertisers, and there's also a often revolving door relationship between the boards of directors of military contractors and large media outlets such as the big TV networks and so forth, and also the major advertisers. And so this is not a conspiracy issue, it's something much deeper than that. It's a structural relationship that exists between the largest, most powerful, most influential media outlets and what we could call the war industries. Tremendous amounts of profits being made on an ongoing basis by media outlets, big ones, and also, of course, by the Pentagon military contractors, what has most recently been called the military-industrial intelligence media complex.
Corporate America is corporate tyranny. Every facet of our lives is dictated and influenced by their enormous power. Our food, our medical care, our courts, our colleges and universities, our work and our social lives. Most frightfully, corporations have seized control of our country's war-making power, a power that is meant to be in the hands of the people through Congress. Instead, corporate elites seek to enrich themselves and their shareholders by fomenting needless wars across the globe. In the face of such tremendous power, what can a citizen do? Do we have a responsibility to act? When bombs are dropped with our tax dollars and in the name of our country, are we compelled to respond? Who do we hold accountable for the killing of so many people, for war crimes, for crimes against humanity, and how do we bring them to justice? The Nuremberg trials of 1945 were military tribunals with legal authority holding accountable Nazi officials and German businessmen for waging wars of aggression, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. Subsequent tribunals in Rwanda, Serbia, and Argentina have held government officials accountable. These legal tribunals were initiated by the government or governments of nations, with the power to carry out sentences of prison or, at times, execution. However, what happens when a government refuses to act in response to war crimes? Or worse, is complicit? What can the citizenry do? People's tribunals are initiated by the swelling anger and frustration of citizens who wish to hold accountable those individuals responsible for egregious and evil acts of behavior perpetrated on a national or global scale. What these people's tribunals lack in legal authority is made up by the power of a citizenry roused to moral action. These tribunals speak for the individual conscience, not the corporate conglomerate. Their power comes not from a few lawyers or elected officials, but from the masses. They are the democratization of the courts when the courts have been captured by the criminals. People's tribunals are not created by vigilantes, but by victims. Not by countries, but by its citizens. A people's tribunal is grassroots justice. It seeks truth, accountability, reconciliation, and remedy. The United States wars on terror have killed, directly and indirectly, an estimated 6 million people in the last 20 years. They have rendered some 7 million children subject to malnutrition and starvation. The cost to the United States taxpayer is estimated to be between $8 and $16 trillion. Weapons manufacturers have reaped the greatest share of this public largesse. The Merchants of Death War Crimes Tribunal has charged 4 United States corporations with war crimes and crimes against humanity. They are Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, and General Atomics. These 4 corporations are representative of the United States war industry and its criminal acts in fomenting needless war against civilian populations. Specifically, this People's Tribunal has charged these 4 defendants with aiding and abetting the United States government in the commission of war crimes and crimes against humanity by knowingly producing and selling weapons that result in the deaths of not only combatants, but of non-combatants, of civilians, and they do so for profit. They are modern-day merchants of death. On November 10, 2022, members of this tribunal hand-delivered subpoenas to Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, and General Atomics in the Washington, D.C. area, requesting that they produce documentation specifically outlined in the subpoena, which would either exonerate them or incriminate them. They had 90 days to respond to the tribunal's subpoenas. Each of the 4 corporations failed to respond. On February 14, 2023, this tribunal issued and delivered contempt citations to the 4 defendants for failing to respond to the subpoenas. While this tribunal holds the 4 defendants in contempt, these 4 defendants have long held the United States citizens and innocents of the world in contempt. Their malicious disregard for human life, their lack of any moral compass, their inhumanity in the pursuit of profit can no longer continue. This tribunal calls them to give account. In the coming weeks, the tribunal will present evidence proving that the 4 defendants have used their corporate influence to commandeer the halls of Congress through bribery, co-opt our governing systems, deplete our national treasury, and lead us into perpetual war. Retired military officials, victims, military analysts, scholars, doctors, theologians, and lawyers all will give testimony proving that Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, and General Atomics knew their products were being used to kill large numbers of civilians, and yet they not only continued to make and sell these products, but they created an atmosphere in the halls of our government where war became inevitable. They did this for money. Trillions of dollars flowed from the U.S. Treasury to the silk-lined pockets of these corporate war makers. American citizens suffered the loss of their national wealth. Civilian populations in foreign lands suffered the loss of uncounted loved ones. the decimation of their cities, the fragmentation and economic exploitation of their countries. These four corporate defendants have immense power and influence. But we, the citizens of the world, are a force more powerful. We call this tribunal to order. Come, war profiteers, give account. Let the truth set us free.
Sends out your pyre. breezed into the fire. Praise for all but sinners. Watch them eating dead rats in the. Say, where are you going?